Welcome to the HMO Experience, the UK's only HMO-focused property podcast, where every Monday, Matt, Jamie and Steve will inform and inspire you about everything to do with HMOs, rent to rent, and how to set up and grow a successful HMO business, whether you're just starting out or you're already on your way.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris and welcome to episode 33 of the HMO Experience podcast. I am here with the absolutely hilarious Steve Mitchell.
What's up?
What's up? Quick update on Jamie. He came runner-up in Love Island, which is a great achievement for him.
But it wasn't actually Love Island.
Okay.
Because, you know, like in the first episode, they went off to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And they was in that amazing villa.
Yeah.
And then back earlier in the year, where did they go? They were in South Africa.
Okay.
And they had this amazing villa.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jamie was in a 3-star hotel in Skegness.
Ouch.
So it wasn't...
That must have been a bit of a rough ride.
It wasn't quite what he expected. Apparently, the hideaway, which I've now found out is sort of where if you get voted to go in... you get a night without cameras and all that type of stuff.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Apparently, that was an outside toilet at the bottom of the garden.
Oh, no.
And the swimming pool ended up being a bird bath.
Really?
Yeah. So it was a bit disappointing, which then we have to question, where was that photograph?
Yeah, exactly. Because it looked like sunshine in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was wearing shades. It looked pretty rosy.
Yeah.
So, look, we're going to have to ask Jamie on next week episode when he's back in with us to give us a bit of feedback, to tell us what his experience was like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, look, congrats on becoming a runner-up, Jamie, on this revamped version of Love Island on ITV7.
Love Island Mature, it was called.
Love Island Mature.
Yeah.
But look, we're looking forward to welcoming you back for the next episode anyway and telling us all about it. For this episode, however, listeners, we are jumping straight into emergency call-outs. Now, there is going to be a variety of call-outs that you may encounter as part of your HMO operation. Some of them will probably be a little bit more frequent than others. So we're going to be covering off stuff like... boiler call-outs, you know, the gas men, the plumbers, the electricians, the handymen, getting them for to attend your property for emergency call-outs. But we're also going to have a little chat about emergency services. So, you know, the ambulance, the police and the fire service. Hopefully you won't have to encounter those. But if you do, in the instances that you do, then I know Steve will share his experience with that. But let's start with the sort of call-outs that you may encounter more frequently. So the sort of trade call-outs. Steve, have you had many experiences with that?
Yeah. We have had our fair share of those. So what have we had? We've had boilers go down in the bleak midwinter. We've had blockages that we talked about a couple of episodes before.
We did.
We've had ovens and cookers tripping the electrics and not really knowing why. We've had internal waterfalls in a bedroom.
Ah, yeah, you should
remember
that
one.
Yeah,
where the water had built up and it had gone over the edge of the felt cover on the flat roof on the bay window and started to come and run down the inside wall of the bedroom. We've had people jump through kitchen windows and started walking around our houses, only be challenged by our customers. We've had laptops nicked out of bedrooms because people left their windows open on ground floors.
Yeah.
We've had people that have slipped up in a bath and dislocated shoulders. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You've had a wide variety.
We've had a variety of call-outs and situations.
Yeah, I've been lucky, I guess. We have not really had, I mean, other than pest control stuff, which we talked about last time, and the drainage aspect, we've not really had any
had
more.
A boiler go?
Not yet.
Well done.
Not yet. Not yet.
Well done you.
Yeah.
Should I tell you my best boiler story?
Yeah, let's share it.
So this is just testament as to why the British Gas home care cover is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we took over a property. It was a 6-bed Victorian villa, 3 stories. And when we took it over, the boiler was probably 14 years old. And it was an old combi boiler.
Mm-hmm.
So it had been on the blink over the summer.
Yeah.
And we got British Gas out and they'd sort of patched it up and repaired it. And we said to the owner that you need to start saving up and putting some money aside to repair the boiler. And to be fair to them, they did. So it got to winter, November, and I think this was like 2017. And we had a really, 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 really cold snap. There was snow on the ground, there was ice, there was all sorts. And the boiler failed. So we actually picked it up because our cleaner at the time, a guy called Mike, called me up and said, in the laundry room, which is where the boiler was, there's water all over the floor. So he initially thought it was from the washing machine, didn't report it. The boiler went, the customers reported it, and Mike happened to be in the property. And again, there was this water over the floor. So he said, you better come over. So I went over. And what we had established was that the heat exchanger in the boiler had cracked and there was water dripping through onto live electrics. So water and electrics don't have a very great relationship. So we had to condemn the boiler.
Yeah.
So we contacted British Gas. To be fair, I mean, we know most of the British Gas guys in our area. They came over within about 3 hours. Looked at the boiler, saw that it was a cracked heater exchange, and they don't carry those on board. So we had to order they had to order the part, which is going to take 3 days to come in. So it's the bleak midwinter, it's freezing, we've got no hot water, we've got no heating, but because we don't have any old folk, and we don't have any children, and we don't have anyone with medical disabilities, we were kind of put on a non-priority status because at that time of year, everyone's having problems with their boilers.
Yeah.
But to be fair to British Gas, what they did supply us with is 6 heaters for our rooms, and they gave us a like a hot water urn to tide us over the period whilst the new bit come in. So if they hadn't done that, then that would have been my cost. And they weren't anything sort of fancy, but it was
functional.
Yeah, it was functional. So we had hot water.
Yeah,
we could make teas and coffees, and we could get pans and put it into basins to for washing. No showers or anything like that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the customers were amazing.
Okay.
And I think the reason why the customers were amazing was because they saw we had a plan.
Yeah.
We put it into action quickly, that we kept them updated every step of the way. And then 3 days later, the new heat exchange comes along, it goes in, and everything's back to normal again. Now, guess how much that cost me?
65 quid.
65 quid?
Yeah.
65 quid. Whereas if I didn't have that cover, I'm potentially, or the customer is potentially looking at least £1,000 or even more, because at that point it's sort of new boiler territory.
Yeah.
So I think the British Gas guys, I mean, they call them the fifth emergency service.
Yeah.
I think they're like the fourth emergency service because they've saved our skin so many times.
Yeah.
They're all professional. They've got the right kit on board. 9 times out of 10, they can fix the problem there and then.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, they had to order some stuff in, and it was there in a couple of days, and we're all back to normal again. But the thing that really impressed me was the extra heaters and stuff that they gave us. To my mind, they didn't have to do that. Now, whether that
added touch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I would highly recommend that if you're getting your own property, even if you're getting buying a property and refurbishing it and putting a brand new boiler in, I would still argue that you'll get a better service from British Gas in terms of call out than having to contact Worcester Bosch Service Centre, who then has to contact local Mr. Plumber, who then has to fit it in with their schedule when they can be asked. And then they turn up and say, oh, got to order a part. So even when I've purchased and put new boilers in from scratch, I've still paid the extra 35 quid a month for the British Gas cover, simply because I know I'm going to get the service. And, and that's what I'm buying.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's good. So, I mean, the benefits of having that type of insurance speak for itself. I don't think, like, have you had any, have you had an experience on the electrical side of things as well, where you've had to have, like, some major works being carried out because of failings?
Not necessarily major works, but we had a house that had a kind of a weird wiring, in the sense that you couldn't have the hob and the oven on at the same time because it would trip the main switch. And we couldn't work out why. And in the end, what we decided to do was to split the two electrical circuits so it had its own breaker. And then what we found was that in the hob, there was just a slight faulty connection. And it was a brand new hob. It had a slight faulty connection that overpowered the circuit, which then tripped the whole system. And of course, once it trips the system, the whole place goes. And this happened like four or five times. We sort of think, why is it happening? And obviously, I wouldn't do anything. I never get involved where water's concerned or electrics is concerned, or if it's over a meter in height. That's not actually true. But anything to do with like roofs or windows or anything like that. I've got a window story. Anything, I don't give old. So this is where your power team that we talked about in a way, way, way back episode is vitally important. You need to have these people on hand.
But
the electricians came in, they separated the circuits, found out that it was a faulty hob. That was then switched out, and we've not had a problem since.
Nice. So, look, you mentioned it. Tell us about the window story as well.
So, window story. So, I hate sash windows.
Right.
And for those of you who don't know what sash windows are, those are the ones that sort of open up and down. But this particular one was a UPVC window. So, not only did it open up and down, and for those of you on the video, I'm doing the hand motions, but also sort of tilted back and forwards. So you've got a tilt and turn sash window. And the way that sash windows work is they've got sort of a weight in the side of the window. So when you lift it up, the weight will actually keep the window open, and it's sprung loaded. So one of our customers, in their infinite wisdom, decided to jam the window up. And then when it got stuck, they tried to pull it down. And what happened was that the weights on the end of the cord got stuck in the spring and therefore left the window open. Now, this was in autumn. An open window in autumn, as you rightly say, is not ideal because it starts to rain and all that type of stuff. And I tried to do it, and I was like forcing it, and I was getting the screwdriver in and all that type of stuff. And in the end, I sort of remembered my my experiences with the drains at St. Augustine, where I was like elbows up to my whatever's in all sorts of interesting materials. And I contacted the window man, and literally within like 20 minutes, he had it sorted.
Really?
It cost me 35 quid.
Ah.
So when you are experiencing these challenges in the house, always I would recommend, and of course we always think about the money, and it's another 35 quid, and then the drains go and it's another 65 quid, and the new electrician has to come out and it's another 50 quid, and it all sort of adds up. But it's, for me, it's peace of mind. It's knowing that the job's done right. This is their trade. They know much more about it than I do. And therefore, that's why you have to leverage their experiences.
Yeah, for sure. And also, if you don't and you try and fix it yourself, you may be causing more damage than
exactly.
good. Right? So it's going to be a bigger bill at the end.
Yeah, totally right.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So look, I think there's, you know, like electrics and the plumbing, the boiler stuff, they're probably the most likely to recur at some stage. you know, then there's other bits and pieces, I guess, like getting locked out or, you know, losing keys, so getting the locksmith out. You know, that's pretty easy to deal with and relatively low cost unless you've got some fancy locking system or a master key system that we discussed a couple of episodes ago. I think that the one thing that probably isn't shared as much is, as you've experienced, like getting the emergency services out. So, you know, the police, the ambulance, fire service, really hoping that you don't have to encounter that, because obviously, you know, that that brings about quite a serious situation. However, you know, for the sake of or for the benefit of sharing the experience that you have had, do you want to tell our listeners a couple of stories that you've encountered in terms of dealing with emergency services?
Yeah, sure. Fortunately, again, touch wood.
Yeah.
Not had to call out a fire brigade. And I mean, that was, that is my personally, that's my biggest fear. And at the beginning, I had this irrational fear that the house was, the first house that we took on was on fire.
Okay.
Why I didn't have that with the ones I owned, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But when we took on our first rent to rent, I just lay in bed at night and my wife Monica began, what's the matter? I was just going, I just got this feeling that Castle Road is on fire. She said, don't be so stupid. I said, I've got to go. I've got to go and have a look. This is like midnight, 12:30. So I get dressed. I get in the car. I drive 20 minutes over to Bedford. I drive by the house. The house is perfectly fine. And then I drive back home and I get back into bed because that is the one thing. But the processes and the steps that we put in place have taught me to rely on the processes. And the people that we get in are super sensible. So the fact that we are checking the fire alarms, we're checking the, we're recording that in the fire log. On check-in, we're getting the customers to find to sign the fire and evacuation statement where we're explaining what you can and you can't do in the house. And no candles, no smoking, no deep fat frying. When you're grilling, be mindful. So that sort of gives me sort of more comfort now. So never had to call out the fire brigade and not made that continue.
Yeah.
But we have had to call out the ambulance service. So one of our customers contacted us and said, look, I need a little bit of help. I was having a shower. I slipped in the bath and I dislocated my shoulder. And I don't know what to do. So we called 999. We got the ambulance over to the house. We went over to the house and met with them. And they were taken in the ambulance off to the hospital. So we went off with them as well to make sure that, that everything was okay whilst they were sat in accident emergency. And one thing that we do... Sorry. One thing that we have, we ensure that's part of our process, is that we, at check-in, we take next of kin details.
Yeah.
So that, not necessarily because we're expecting anyone to die.
Sure.
But because this young lady had a fall, I wanted to make sure her parents were aware. So I called up and spoke with them. I said, look, nothing to be worried about. This is just to let you know that had a slip in the bath. She's dislocated her shoulder. She's in the ER right now. And as soon as she comes out, I'll make sure that that she calls. And the thanks that I got in return was phenomenal. It's not something that I had to do. From a legislative perspective or from a regulations perspective, but it all comes back to this central theme about service. And I consider as part of our company philosophy, our house guests and our customers are part of our extended family. And you look after your family. And that's a policy that's served us well. And when she came out, we got a really nice thank you letter from her mum. Her mum came down and spent a night in a hotel, and then she sort of went back home to recuperate and recover with her family. And then 4 days later, she was back at work again, shoulder in place, off the drugs and all that type of stuff, and we went back on as normal.
Nice.
So, but one of the things that we did do was to try and understand the reason why she slipped. Because one of the things that part of my DNA is in looking at processes is if something like that happens, is to try and understand why it happened so you can prevent it from happening again.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we then did is we put these non-slip bath mats in,
okay.
which, when you think about it, is kind of something that we should do anyway.
Yeah.
But we didn't. But now we do. Where we have a bath and with an over shower,
yeah.
we now put these non-slip mats in because we don't want to go through that experience again.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Is there anything from, like, obviously a health and safety perspective, you know, you have a responsibility to make sure that your properties are safe.
Yeah.
In instances like that, is there any sort of kickback, or does it come down to the fact that, you know, you carry out the weekly inspections or your regular inspections in any case, you document what, you know, everything that is there and assess the health and safety scenario
yeah.
whilst you're going through the inspection. So actually, when it comes to something like that, provided that you've got, you know, plausible deniability, i.e. you've got a paper trail of, look, we check this weekly, right? So this is an outlier event
yeah.
because, you know, we make sure that everything is taken care of, and obviously we respond when instances like that do happen.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what's the...
So there's something called the HHSRS, which yeah. is the Housing Health and Safety Rating System.
Yeah.
And that has, I think, 21 different points of which houses are assessed in relation to hazards.
Yeah.
So there's the usual, like Legionellas. There is things like trips and hazards.
Yeah.
There's cold. There's temperature. Sorry. There is damp and mildew, not moss, as I thought it was last time. Damp, mildew. So there's a whole bunch of different noise, pests, all that type of stuff. Security.
Yeah.
But when I looked through it, I didn't see slipping in a bath.
Yeah.
So to me, this is an outlier, and I'm sure that if the customer had made a complaint to the local council, we probably would have got a call.
Yeah.
But I feel comfortable in my own skin saying that this was an isolated instance. There is nothing in the regulations that say we have to put non-slip non-slip mats in the bath. If you go around the average home, there isn't a regulation that says you have to have that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I can now say to the council, if I ever get called in again, is that in all the baths where we have a stand-in shower, there is now a non-slip mat.
Yeah.
So it's about learning from experience. It's about implementing and making sure that that doesn't impact your business going forward.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So look, you mentioned obviously the ambulance experience. We were chatting before this episode, and you you regaled a couple of stories about having to get the police involved as well.
Yeah. So again, this won't happen to you. I guarantee it. These are sort of like real random incidences that happen. But in the summertime, particularly over the last couple of years, it started to get a bit warmer, and therefore. Customers tend to leave windows open, particularly in kitchens. And in a couple of properties that we have, there's relatively easy access around the back of the building and therefore access into the house through an open window is possible. So we had an incident where someone's computer was stolen.
Oh,
wow. And we couldn't work it out because there was no forced entry in the front door. The back door was locked. But then when we examined it, or not us, but when the police examined it a lot closer, they found a partial footprint on the windowsill that was leading, that was on the window into the kitchen. And then what we found is because our customers kind of left some washing powder on top of the work surface. We found a lovely footprint of washing powder on the vinyl floor in the kitchen.
Oh, wow.
So what then happened is that this individual was wandering around, and because our customers feel secure in the property, they don't lock their bedroom door.
Sure.
So someone had wandered in. I don't know whether they wandered in every single room, but they wandered into the room closest to the kitchen.
Yeah.
They found a laptop that was on charge there, obviously picked that up and walked off.
Mm.
And they just literally walked out the back door because it's got a thumb turn lock on it. So the police was involved. Part of my, I had to give a statement as to what security measures we have in the house.
Yeah.
I don't think they recovered the laptop. But when all was said and done, it was obvious where the point of entry was.
Yeah.
So as part of our sort of communication amongst our community, when we get to summertime,
yeah.
It's just regular messages out on the WhatsApp groups as the warm weather is coming. Please be mindful of security. Yeah. Please make sure that windows, particularly on the ground floors, are closed.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all we can do is try and be proactive to make sure that we minimize any potential intrusions into our houses.
Yeah, for sure. We do something similar with the WhatsApp groups, and we also have security notices up in the kitchen notice board and by the front and back doors, just to remind people, look, lock up doors and windows, because, you know, it's super important, obviously, for the safety and security of everyone else in the house, just to be mindful of that. But I think that it's time for Steve's final word.
So my final word is that these emergency call-outs don't happen very often. The most prevalent one is probably going to be something to do with your boiler or your heating controls or something like that. So as long as you've got a plan in place to respond to that as soon as you possibly can. And we always recommend British Gas. It doesn't have to be British Gas. There are others out there, but we recommend British Gas.
Yeah.
Then that's the best you can do. Call upon the experts to solve your problems. And then the final word is, as you're checking people in, please make sure you do take next of kin information.
Yeah, yeah.
So that if something does happen, it doesn't have to be a death. It doesn't have to be. It could be...
Just something
that requires a hospital visit or a doctor or something, or you need to get in contact for whatever reason with your customer's relatives, then keep that information on hand so that if you do need it, it's there and ready to go.
Yeah, for sure. That's a nice little final word to end on there, Steve.
Thank you.
So that all being said, we are coming to a close for episode 33. Just to remind you guys to head over to our Facebook page, The HMO Experience, and leave us your comments and feedback. Also, share any stories that you've had with regards to emergency call-outs, or if you've got any specific questions in relation to procedure or how to deal with specific instances. Make sure you head over to our YouTube channel as well, The HMO Experience. Leave any comments there, and whilst you're there, hit the subscribe button. Also, we have a monthly networking event at PPN St. Pancras where you can see Steve, Jamie, and I live. You can come and touch our faces and like squeeze our cheeks and check whether we're real. It is at the Impact Hub at King's Cross every third Wednesday of the month. And what's the bonus ball there, Steve?
If you come up to the registration desk and say, "I am Matt Harris," we'll let you in for free.
Ah, amazing. So make sure you come and check us out. We have monthly guest speakers as well as networking with like-minded individuals. So come down and see us. Also, look out for hashtag HMO Hacks. What? They're going to be coming to you on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you have any specific questions, other than leaving us comments on the Facebook page, also make sure that you post anything on social with hashtag HMO Hacks at the end, because we follow the hashtag. We look out for any specific questions that you have on any particular subject that we've covered or not to date. And that being that, we are going to be back next Monday with a mystery episode. Ooh. So until then, it is goodbye from Steve.
Awesome sauce.
And it is, ooh, see you later for me. Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the HMO Experience. Don't forget that all of the resources mentioned in each episode will be available on our website, www.thehmoexperience.co.uk. We regularly update our website with new content to help you along your HMO journey. So make sure you check out www.thehmoexperience.co.uk for more details. Also, remember to join our online community by liking the HMO Experience Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel.